He wants you to keep your old-fashioned values and keep. He wants you to keep coming to church every week, just as long as you never realize just how wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked you are. And that's where he blinds you. And if he can marginalize you, if he can get you to be on the sidelines, if he can get you out of the Lord's army and just sitting on the sideline and watching everybody else do the work of the church, which is usually this, the core, and the core is about 20% of the church who does 80% of the work of the church, he's happy because he knows that if the church was 100% working, he'd be in trouble. The good news is, no matter how disgusted Jesus is by your self-centeredness, your deceptive brand of Christianity, I want you to see in this letter that he says that he still loves you. Oh yeah, still loves you. He says he's going to discipline you if you're going to call yourself a Christian. Tells you to repent. That should be a key word that we see in all these letters. Repent, 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 repent. There's still time to repent. He was telling people to do that in the first century. Here we are in the 21st century. And I would still tell you there's time to repent. We're 2100 years removed from the writing of these letters. There's still time. But as we come to the end of this letter, we come to probably one of the biggest doctrinal blunders that so many churches have made, and they've used this letter as an example, unfortunately. Verse 20, I believe. Have you not heard someone say to you before you were a Christian, if you became a Christian as an adult? Don't you remember someone coming alongside you and saying, you know, Jesus is standing at your door and he's knocking. And if you just open your heart and receive him, you can be saved. Man, I heard that all my growing up years. It's wrong. This has nothing to do with salvation in this passage. It has to do with a church that is certainly struggling spiritually, a church that has gotten away from their first love. They're like the church at Ephesus. They're also like the church at Sardis because they're dead and probably don't even realize it. They were still coming together. They were still trying to worship. They were still called a church. So much a church that Jesus decides to write a letter to this church and says, I have some problems with what you're doing. You're not living the life that you say that you are. You say you're a Christian, but you're not being that Christian. And you have gone so far down that road that you have made a decision by your life, by your example, by the way you think and act, their fruits, you've put me on the outside of your life. I'm no longer inside you. These are lost souls at this point, even though they know the gospel, even though they accepted Jesus, and they had put Jesus on the outside of their life. So here's the good news. As they put him outside, what does Jesus do? Does he just go away? Does he head on back to heaven? Does he head back to the throne room and say, well, too bad for them. They're lost. They made their choice. They put me out. Is that what we see here going on? Huh. He's still knocking. Still knocking. And all that these Christians had to do, if I read this letter properly, they don't need to be re-saved, so to speak, meaning that they're not sinners that have not received the grace of God. They did, but they decided to, through Satan and temptation and their choices, bad choices, they have put Christ on the outside of their life. Jesus tells them what to do. He doesn't tell them to go get baptized and get saved again. No, he says, repent. Just repent. And I'll come right back in. But I can't come in right now because you're lukewarm. You make me sick. Every time I look at you, I want to spit. Because of what you say and what you do, you disgrace my name. And you would think someone who sees all that would just say, tough luck on them. Still knocking. He wants back in. This is a very negative letter, but let me tell you, that's a positive thought right there, to know that Jesus never gives up. And he keeps on knocking. And he keeps on knocking. And he says, you can come back. Come back. I want you. I need you. But not the way you are. I can't stomach you the way you are. You got to change. That's the kind of church we're talking about here at Laodicea. It's a tough church. It's a bad church. It needs a lot of changing. But if they're willing to do so, God and Jesus are ready to take them back. Thank God. Huh? How many times have you gone to God over a problem in your life? Say, God, I know this is not right. Or, God, I need to get this right, but I just can't seem to get it turned around. How many times have you gone to God with that kind of prayer? More times than you want to admit, probably. And then when you think about it, you have to realize you're still doing it. And I would say, keep at it. Don't give up. Keep at it. Don't give up. Because I got a scripture that says God, or actually in this case, Jesus, who is God, he's knocking. Let me back in. I need my church. At Laodicea, I need it to be a great example. There are lost souls in this town, and you're not helping the cause right now, and you need to get your lives turned back around and start serving me and put me first, and don't allow the wealth of this city and the material possessions of this city to cause you to be tempted to give up on me. That's what's going on. It's worldly greed. Jesus is on this. Be on honey. He knows exactly what their problem is, and he knows exactly what they need to do. And so as we come to our invitation, you need to ask that question that we always ask. What about your life here today? Where are you? You don't think that I can just end a series on the seven churches of Revelation and not say, which church talked to you the most? Which church had some details that you could relate with, good, bad, or ugly. Some of these churches were doing some good things. Some were a mixed bag. This one, pretty bad. And so, as we come to this time of invitation, I hope you probably are going to tell me you can't play that. Yeah, I understand. Well, we'll sing as much as we can sing of this invitation, but I extend this to you today to say, based on this church and this church alone, but it's interesting, I did find this in all the churches, but I see this one as just night and day, as clear as a bell. If you're not living the kind of life that Jesus has called you to live, you better think serious. Is he in my life or is he outside of my life? If he's outside, the good news is he's knocking. And that's what this invitation today is all about. If you hear that knocking, yeah, we know what a knock sounds like, and I think most of us know what a knock feels like. If you feel God knocking here today, this is your moment. You don't have to stand and come forward, but this is your moment to repent. This is your moment to say, God, I've been living like the members of Laodicea, that church. I want to stop making you sick. I want to be good. I want to be hot. I want to be cold. I want to be used in a way that I can be used for your kingdom. Whatever it is, but not lukewarm. Forgive me. Pray the prayer. Forgive me for being lukewarm, if that's the case. And allow this last but worst example of all of them to be the challenge for your life from this day forward. To say, and with your help, God, I don't want to go back there again. Yes, I got caught up in the world. I got caught up in worldly things, worldly possessions, money, fame. Got away from your church, so to speak. Wasn't as faithful. And I certainly wasn't as active as I used to be when I first became a Christian. I need your help, God. I need your Holy Spirit to draw me back and help me to be the person you've called me to be. Yes, I'm opening the door. You got to do it. Only Jesus can knock. You've got to open it. If you need to make that kind of decision today, I hope you will. Not that you have to come forward, but I hope you do in your heart of hearts as we stand and sing our hymn of decision. And we'll sing as long as we can. What an appropriate song.
My heart, oh God.
Through. A few people came by the church as we were cleaning up the grounds here a little bit yesterday. I think we're having church. Oh yeah. If COVID didn't knock us out, why would Ivan knock us out? No. Even if there was no power here today, we would have a service. Just know, you don't have to ask if we're going to have a service. Maybe the only thing that would have kept us is if these two barriers at both sides of our church got moved closer and they said, the water, you're underwater, you know, or you couldn't get here, you know, and that kind of thing. But anyway, I'm glad all of you are here. I know that many of you are still trying to unpack and figure out what your next step and moves are because damage and debris and water and all that. And we have members that have been displaced. Just know that as time goes on, I think we'll get more info and information so that people that need prayer and encouragement, hopefully we'll get it from any and everyone that's available to help. And, you know, some of you are more available than others. I realize that, and I hope that we can help our church through a tough few weeks and months and maybe years for some people, because I know some people have lost everything. Maybe not so much in our church or on this east coast of Florida, but I know on the west coast there are people that won't be seeing their home ever again, I don't think. But anyway, let's keep all, as Bob prayed, let's keep all of Florida in our prayers here today and tonight. Okay, in your bulletins, as promised, we have a nice new flyer. Well, actually, we have an old flyer and a new flyer. Did you see how I did that? It's like magic. All right, now, don't think this is accidental, front and back. As you're walking up to some people, I would say, for example, you know, as you're walking up to some young people, you know, you might say, well, look what's going on at our church. See that? Concert. You know, and just show them that on November 6th, there's going to be a nice concert. Casey Cabral is in concert, 9 o'clock. And if you haven't heard her sing, I think you'll enjoy her, and she's going to have she doesn't have her regular crew from Canada, but she's found a few people that are going to come and help her. So that's going to be a nice morning. That's how we start off this unforgettable Sunday. But then, you know, you're going to go to somebody that they've already told you they don't like singing, they don't like loud music. Do not show them this side. You flip it over and you say, well, we're going to have an unforgettable service. There's our theme, failure is not an option. And then make sure you read free dinner, free family portraits, free games. People like free. That's on this side. And, well, the concert's free too, of course, but But now you got two sides, and I hope that you will take the challenge from here on out. We got 4 weeks before this is going to take place. Every week you're going to get a new one. Some of you have asked for more. We'll try to keep supplying some of those in the back every week so you can pick up a few extra. Word of mouth is the best way that we get the word out, you know. And this flyer, I've just about asked all my neighbors in my neighborhood, and I think I got a big neighborhood coming. Yes. And you got to just stay on them and keep inviting and reminding them again and again and again. Don't forget, November 6th is coming up. And if they need a ride, I hope that you can offer maybe a seat in your car. Hey, let's go together. We'll drive together. We'll see what's going on. Now, if you got some neighbors with little kids, I got two little kids that have just moved in across the street.
Love it.
Two little kids. I've already told the mom, we're going to have some games for those kids. Your kids, yes. We're going to have some games on November 6th for your kids. Really? I said, yes, really. That sounds interesting. Well, why don't you come on and see? Whatever angle it takes, okay? We want people here on this unforgettable Sunday. And it's coming fast, you know. 8 weeks ago, it seemed like it was a long way. Now we're only 4 weeks away. And 4 weeks will seem like 2 weeks. It won't be long, and it's going to be right on top of us. And so I hope that you'll be here. How many have been to an unforgettable Sunday in the past? All right, quite a few of us. See it? Guys, look. Raise your hand again if you've been to we got to get y'all into the club. You know, the unforgettable club. And because once you've experienced an unforgettable service, you'll not forget it. That's the nature of it. You'll remember this 10 years later, what we're going to do on November 6th. You may not remember all the details, but you'll still remember some things that you saw and heard on that day that you can tell somebody, yeah, I'll never forget that. That was unforgettable. And that's the nature of that service. So I hope that you'll be here for that. This week, we're back to our Bible study on Wednesday. Israel and prophecy. A lot of people ask me questions. How does Israel fit into the end times? Because you hear a lot about it, and you hear read a lot of books about it. And so we're going to talk about that for the next couple of weeks. If you're interested in Israel in end time prophecy, that's what we'll be discussing on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Hope you'll come and be with us. Are we still having the bonfire with all this water? Yes, dry wood is at a premium right now, but Friday at 6:30, if you want to come out for that bonfire, be a good way to test the waters with some of your neighbors, maybe. You know, hey, come on out. Let's. Are we roasting hot dogs or just marshmallows or both? Hot dogs. Okay, good. Love those hot dogs. So I hope that you'll be here for that. And then I know WOW is up for Saturday activities there. All right. Any other announcements that we need to make here today? We have some guests here today. Thank you for coming and sharing with us. We hope that if you are not involved in a church somewhere, that maybe next Lord's Day you'll come back and share with us again. And Gidget's not back, but she's doing well, I think. And I told her, I said, I think your area is going to be better this week. And it is. Look, this was all empty last week, you know. We had more over here last time, didn't we? You know, we lost a few, so we got to work a little harder, you know, to build this back up over here. But look around. This week particularly, if you see somebody that sits on the row in front of you or behind you or next to you and they're not here today, give them a call. Just one person. Just give them a call and just say, we missed you today. How's things going? Anything we can do to help, pray for, you know, can I go get you something? Who knows? They may be in need. And that to me is just a church doing doing God's bidding when we do that. So look around, and I'm glad my area is covered here, you know. But some of you, I know, have some people that you're missing, and maybe we're missing for a reason. Now, any other announcements? I'm following a finger. Trish? It looks like there's a finger. Were you trying to pull a Karen Carbajal on us? look at Karen back there. She's famous in these parts because she got away with it. But we got her, I think, the next week. So, yeah. Happy birthday. And I think Dennis skipped town last week, and he's not here today either. He had an anniversary, I believe. Last week. Okay. Well, are we? Have you rattled Al's cage? Is he ready? He's ready. All right. So let's sing "Happy Birthday." Happy birthday. I don't think Al ever thought that his legacy would continue on, you know, as it has. You know, as long as we sing birthday, have birthdays in our church, Al will always be remembered because of his booming voice, and you hear it just as it was, and it's kind of nice to have a legacy like that to remember him by. So that's nice. All right, anything else before we're dismissed? I know for some of you it was a little tougher to get out. I got a call and someone says, I might be there if the airboat's running, you know, because they had a body of water that they had to cross over to get to the main road. And I know as I'm looking around, I know some of you are still sitting with lakes, right? Your house is maybe above the water level, but it's hard to get to the house and back to the street. And I'm still thanking God for a hot shower this morning, because maybe my power will be off when I get home. And he provided some hot water. So, you know, I had some refreshing cool water yesterday. And boy, when I spit that lukewarm water, I was reminded of this church. And so that's, I hope, something we will always remember, the church that makes Jesus sick, and that we will not ever contribute in any way to his sickness, because he does take note. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. All of you are safe this week. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, so much for a beautiful Lord's Day, this moment that we have to share with our church family, pray with them, encourage them. Father, we pray that we can be a church that if you were to write a letter, it would have lots and lots of good things to be said. We know that we're all sinners, and there's probably blind spots that we have, and we're open, Father, for your encouragement and help where we are weak. But I just pray that we can be your foot soldiers in the Lord's army, and that we can fight your battles and win souls to Christ. And may we do our best at it. Thank you again for a beautiful Lord's Day and a time to be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're not going to play that the way things are going. So we are dismissed right here. All right.